need a three. Sexton works on Irving, trying to get loose. He'll fire. He knocks it down. Osmond steps into a long-distance jumper. Allen to the bucket. He crushes it home.
Off to Garland for three. He knocks it down.
Drummond toward Valanciunas. Finds a cutter in Okoro, and Okoro thunders it home.
By Kyrie. Sexton got it back. Nance for the tie. He knocks it down. Love hands it off the Sexton feed. Cavaliers by seven.
And, Cleveland, this is for you.
Joining me now is one of the voices behind The Chasedown, the official podcast of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and he's also our honorary third co-host of this show. It's, you know who it is. It's Justin Rowan. Justin, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing terrific, man. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, man. We're happy to have you, like always. Like I said, you are the honorary third co-host, and I do think it's funny that whenever we hit you up, you're always willing and able to come on the show with us.
Dude, this is a part of the whole dynamic of me being a Cavs fan up in Winnipeg. I just need people to talk to about this stuff. I need people that are willing to listen to my rambling and whatnot. So you guys are always willing to lend me that platform. So when opportunity comes knocking, I'm jumping. I'm running through that door.
Are you infecting the masses at all in Winnipeg with that? Winnipeg doesn't strike me as a big basketball town, just based on what you said. Are you infecting the masses with your love of hoops, or is it more of a, you're still holding on to us a bit?
It's a pretty good mix. We actually are a pretty good basketball town. That you do get a lot of fans around, but like growing up, it was predominantly Lakers fans. A few more Raptors fans kind of popping up now, but it's all over the place. It just not a lot of Cavs love is what I'm really getting at.
Well, speaking of Cavs love, this is a good segue. How has it been working with the Cavs to this point? Like it's been a little over a month now, hasn't it?
Yeah, I guess 2 months now, which is just unbelievable. I've been really, really impressed and having a great time. The fact that we can continue doing what we've been doing is something that was promised before the partnership was announced and before we started recording with them. But for that to actually have taken place and for us to continue doing what we've been doing just with their support has been a really, really cool and rewarding experience. It's been a lot of fun. It certainly didn't help that when we first announced, we were basically starting that 10-game losing streak. But you know what? Mm-hmm. We're here for the highs and lows, baby.
No, I like the way you think. And for the little, I'm sure you heard it, everyone listening, I was sipping water while Justin was talking. But I guess just, does it still feel surreal to you guys? Because for those of you listening, I did a little bit of a piece for Forbes with Justin and Carter and some of the folks at the organization just on this partnership and just what they envision with it. Like, and that's the one of the biggest takeaways I got was like, you and Carter both were like so happy and stoked about this, obviously, but like I could get the vibe this is like a surreal moment. It's like, does it still feel like you're dreaming a bit? Like you're on the Cavs YouTube feed like for their live streams. Like that's insane to me.
Yeah, I will admit that portion can ratchet up the nerves just a little bit when you have the intro going and you're like, okay, if my internet craps out or if there's anything that goes wrong, now I'm doing it on their channel versus my own Twitter feed, which I'm used to a few more embarrassing moments being on. But you're right, it's 100% surreal. For those that don't know, this isn't my day job. It's not something I'm trying to make a day job. It's just a hobby that I'm incredibly passionate about. So for the Cavs to understand that, to provide me with this creative outlet along with Carter, surreal is pretty much the only word to describe it.
Well, no, yeah, I'm so happy for you guys, like for real. Like when you made the announcement, I'm just like, never, there's not two people that are more deserving than this, and I've said that to a few people in the org, so I'm just so happy for you guys.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah,
appreciate
no problem. And there's the Canadian buddy. Yeah. it just always makes me chuckle. But just to get back on track here, speaking of the Cavs, they took on the Warriors in the second game of a back-to-back. For those of you who are regular listeners, you may already know this, but Chris and I try to talk about the positives, win or lose, and hand out awards for play of the night, stat of the night, and finally an MVP reward. Damn, really stuck the landing there. But before we get started, Justin, let's talk about this game. The Cavs lose 114-95 in this one. I may have the score wrong because I was writing up my notes here, but they lost. Steph Curry was the leading scorer for Golden State. Colin Sexton, meanwhile, led Cleveland. Other notables were Jared Allen and Darius Garland. And we're trying to find some positives here. What was your biggest takeaway for the Cavs in this loss?
Ooh, you know what? My biggest takeaway coming from this game, it's one of those where it's unfortunate that I think a large portion of the reason why they lost was the veterans just didn't play well. Like Kevin Love, stinker. Larry Nance, mm-hmm. you can tell he's still working his way back. Dele didn't really have the same pop coming off the bench. And a lot of those bench minutes with Dele, Nance, and Sexton just weren't productive. But I like seeing that when everything isn't necessarily clicking, that the young guys can still go out there and be productive. And for Garland to kind of work his way through a poor shooting night at the start, for Sexton to kind of go through some of the ebbs and flows of the games where, yeah, he's not getting the ball at certain stretches, but he finds new ways to get assertive and get some more shots down the stretch. Jared Allen having an impact on the inside. To me, kind of the story of the game is those young guy still learning how to work through adversity and showing positive steps in that direction.
It really felt like this team had no quit tonight, right? Like, mm-hmm. it felt insurmountable, especially in the second quarter. Like, I jokingly tweeted out that Cleveland scored 8 points to that point and Golden State had 28. And the Cavs were still outscored in the second, 35-21. But you got to give credit where credit's due. Like, they're a bad, for the most part, a bad third quarter team, and Cleveland actually won the third 27-26. But like you said, these young guys really just don't have any quit. And
the third came a quarter early, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's the thing. Maybe
if Garland didn't go nuts, that I think it was an 11-point halftime deficit. That could have been a whole lot worse. And Twitter acquaintance buddy Jason Maples tweeted out midway through the second half that this Cavs team is gritty, that they don't quit. And I think this is another one of those nights where you understand why they came up short. Not everything was clicking. I didn't really expect Kevin Love to play a lot of back-to-backs down the stretch this season, and I guess he didn't really play this one, or at least didn't play in a productive way. But like, that's understandable, right? Like, he's working his way back into shape, and that's a big ask from him, but it just goes to show that he's a competitor, and they're taking trying to win down the stretch seriously, or at least taking serious the opportunity for developmental minutes. So, you know what? It's frustrating because you feel like if they were playing just a little bit better, if things were a little sharper, they maybe could have stole this one. But at the end of the day, like, there's still a lot of really positive signs to look at.
Oh, yeah, no, there definitely is. And I kind of teased this when I was with Chris last night after we wrapped up. And I might have said it on the show, too. But, like, this is going to be the positivity half hour for Justin and I on here. But, yeah, there's positives to glean with the young guys. But I do wonder, you bring up a good point with, like, Kevin Love trying to play himself back into shape. And he's still on a minutes restriction, last I checked. And he was right around it tonight, like 21 minutes, 47 seconds. That's pretty reasonable. Dele's also still on one, and he had 13 minutes and didn't really contribute much at all either in the grand scheme of things. But I don't know, it's interesting to think, like, maybe the Cavs are, you know, trying to integrate a lot of big pieces at once. Like, Jared Allen picked right up where he left off, but, like, clearly Larry Nance is feeling that sickness that knocked 20. It's still crazy to me to think that the guy lost 20 pounds and he's back out there, like, it's been about a week and some change later, and he's trying
You're not going to be sharp. You're not going to have the same muscle strength that you had before. It's not like he was working out and in the gym and keeping his conditioning up when he was sick like that, right? So it's not really a surprise to see him not play well. But as I mentioned, like, when he's not playing well and you can't really count on him, and Dele's not having a good game, some of those bench minutes get really ugly really quick.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. But let's hop into awards real quick. And Justin, let's let you lead things off here. What was your play of the night pick?
So my play of the night is actually an early one of the game. Obviously, Sexton started off incredibly well tonight, really kind of set the tone for the Cavs. But it was a particular play that forced the Warriors to call a timeout, starting a 9-point lead, I think, at that time, where he found Allen on the inside for the dunk. And the type of stuff that you really want to see from Sexton, where, yes, his scoring's going, and it's kind of funny that his stretch where he had his assists on the night, because he only finished with two, it was in that scoring burst at the start. And that's what you want to see, is when he is active, when he is scoring, that he's also looking to capitalize on the opportunities that will create for others. And I thought that was a perfect example of that, and that's why I picked it as my play of the night.
No, I absolutely agree. Like, that was a beautiful read from Colin. I think I said as much when I was just tweeting out my feelings on it, but yeah, Sexton only had two assists on the night, but for him to make good plays, good passes, good reads like that, that's just hella encouraging, because that's always been my biggest hang up with him sometimes, is sometimes he doesn't make the easy read or the easy pass, and he kind of just drives in with reckless abandon. And now I think Jared Allen acting as a security blanket for these young guards is a really beneficial thing, especially for Garland, because that pick and roll is such a dynamic just 1-2 punch they have together. But yeah, my play of the night pick is, and it's kind of like we were talking about how this team doesn't have any quit, it's when Isaac Okoro had a steal in the fourth quarter that led to a Sexton three, and I think it pulled the game a little bit closer, then it kind of just stretched back out again. It's just, you know, how it breaks sometimes for the Cavs, but it's just like you said, and you and I both agree on, like, this young team doesn't have any quit in it, and it's just kind of endearing to see that, like, even when it feels like it's insurmountable, this Cavs team is going to give up, and thankfully it keeps things entertaining from opening to close. And, like, there's only been a few blowouts for the Cavs this year, but I think it's because of plays like that. I will be right back with more from my conversation with Justin, but I got to pay the bills, and let me give you a quick word from one of our sponsors, Built Bar. You know it, you love it. They are the most delicious and best tasting protein bar ever, and they are now even more deliciouser than before. Season 2 of Built Bar features caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp, and there's also the season 1 classics including coconut almond, raspberry, German chocolate, peanut butter, banana bread, mint brownie, salted caramel, double chocolate, orange, toffee almond, coconut, peanut butter brownie. Oh my god, I can't keep up. Bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they are soft and easy to chew, and they are great for the health conscious guy or gal. They help you lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and great for those on a keto diet or a type 1 diabetic guy like myself. One of my favorite flavors, and I love a good pun, so I love it even more, is Cherry Barcia. It has 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 4 grams of net carbs. So, if you're interested in Built Bar, and you should be at this point, go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. And if you buy now, you can possibly get a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Pete Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and just pulling up the play-by-play, yeah, that cut it to an 11-point game with just about 5 minutes left. So, yeah, it was realistically a game there. Garland followed it up with the bucket, and then everything fell apart from there. Curry hit his back-to-back threes, and JTA was just absolutely fantastic for the Warriors tonight. That was their big X factor, for sure.
He's such a fun story. Like, I know he killed the Cavs, and that's a little frustrating, but I just think he's a fun story. He grew up in Oakland, now he gets to play for the Warriors, and he's playing pretty well for them. Like, I mean, tonight.
Look, it's not as frustrating when it's someone that isn't associated with those title teams.
Yeah.
Like, that is a little more palatable than if it was Steph, Clay, or God forbid Draymond having a Game 7 performance against us.
Yeah, no, and it's also fun. I mean, I don't know, Draymond just jawing with Sexton was kind of fun, too, and he almost flirted the double-double in terms of assist and rebound. I'm just seeing that now, which is nuts to me. But speaking of stats, my stat of the night pick is Isaac Okoro holding Steph Curry to 2 of 10 shooting, and I was more proud of the stat because he was 0 of 8 to that point, and then it just kind of fell apart about towards the end of the fourth quarter. It was about like 2-3 minutes left to go, and then just as a counterpoint, because everyone's gonna be like, oh, Evan, Steph hit 4 threes tonight, Dele held Steph to 2 of 3 shooting. So when Okoro went off, Dele kind of opened things up for him a little bit. I think you even said it's like, figures Steph finally starts hitting shots as soon as Okoro checks off.
Yeah, Yeah. As soon as he checked out of the game, Steph hit back-to-back threes there, and no real surprise there. I mean, you can't attribute it all to Okoro, because there were times where he kind of didn't make it through a screen and stuff like that, kind of the rookie mistakes you'd expect.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, you're making him really work to get to those open shots, right? And I think Okoro's one of those guys, and I think Jackson Frank made this point on the podcast with Chris earlier this week, where he's almost like a perfect example of whether or not stats guys are also watching the game. Because, I mean, Jax Franks is a stats guy, but when you watch Okoro, you throw all those defensive metrics out the window, because the quality of competition that he's defending, when you actually break down the film and where he's in position and whatnot, he's a hell of a defender already. He's really good on ball, and the sky's the limit for him. My stat of the night, I'm going to go actually with Garland's whole line, because I actually think Garland had a bad game. I think this was just... No real qualifiers needed. It was a bad game for him.
Yeah,
I like that. I think he shot his way out of it. And in the past, like if this was last season, I would say screw the efficiency. 20-7 from Garland, only -2. Like I would say, you know what? That's such a nice positive for him. But the fact that he was able to kind of work through the fact he was having a bad game, and yes, there were mistakes, but still being able to kind of be almost stay a wash when it comes to the plus minus, which plus minus can be noisy, but when you watch it out there, the team just had it so much more pop with him. The fact that he is having that impact beyond his stats and finding ways to make a difference when he is having an off night, that's a really, really positive sign. And he's only attributed one turnover on the night. I feel like some of that might have been given to somebody else, because it felt like he had a little more than that. But the fact that he's able to work through those moments and that his confidence doesn't get shaken is such a positive sign for his growth, because when we talk about the upside that Garland has, this is the essential part of this. This is the one ingredient that has to be there, which is that assertiveness. It's that aggression, that willingness to pull. So him going out there and taking seven threes once again is a great sign, even if they weren't falling.
Justin, you've always been a bit of a Garland believer. Like, do you feel validated with his last few games? I mean, awesome game.
I feel validated with the season.
Yeah, that's fair, because I was a little hesitant, but I think, I don't know. I always said he showed flashes, but I think he's showing more than flashes at this point. Wouldn't you agree?
No, I completely agree, and I feel like I had a pretty, not to toot my own horn, but I also love to toot my own horn, like predicting a 17-6 season from him. Well, that's basically what he's doing at this point. And now after the All-Star break, you're starting to see that same confidence, that same building upon what came before that you saw with Sexton, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is just yet another year of, hey, Cavs rookie that struggled, that noisy rookie season, gets a little better in his sophomore year. You see the flashes early on, and then after the All-Star break and after they start finding their confidence and breaking through kind of that wall, man, you see the consistency. You see why Darius Garland was considered to be in that Ja Morant, RJ Barrett tier, and he's starting to perform like that on a more consistent basis, and that's really significant, especially when you're talking about the Cavs trying to go for a play-in and the unlikelihood of jumping up in the lottery, the unlikelihood of landing kind of a guy that's going to fix everything next season. If they're going to be good next year, the majority of that's probably going to have to come internally, and Garland's a big part of that equation.
No, I'm glad you feel the same way, and just, it feels good to have a man who understands Darius Garland's good. I mean, Chris does, but it feels validating sometimes. Not to the extent some of you might be thinking, but before I get in trouble here, Justin, who's your MVP pick for tonight? For the Cavs, at least. I mean, we could go Steph Curry, we could go...
Ooh. Can you go first? Because we were, to peel back the curtain, we were talking about how the sausage was made on these MVP picks. Mm-hmm. And I'm really curious, because I thought I had a read on who yours was, and I have a couple options that I want to highlight, but I want you to go first. Yours.
We'll pull back the curtain even further here. Justin thought I was going to go with Isaac Okoro, and I don't know. I'm just going to give it to... I think Colin Sexton deserves more love. He missed the last game with the groin injury. I think he is just, you know, didn't really show any slowing down from that. He had 30 points to those pass to Allen was so encouraging, 2 assists, 4 boards. And my other play of the night pick was when he had those 2 offensive rebounds. And like I said, no quit again. And he went back to, he kept fighting for the layup. And I mean, I'm going to Chris Manning this a little bit too, but he was 7 of 10 from the line as well. Sexton's using his aggressiveness to get to the line. He's just a very complete offensive player. And I know the Cavs lost this one, but it would have been a lot worse if Colin Sexton didn't play, in my opinion, because, yeah, they got production from Torian Prince. Yes, Darius Garland shot past a bad night. Yes, Jared Allen was very good, but, like, Isaac, and yes, Isaac Okoro played great defense on Steph Curry, but, like, Kevin Love was a non-factor. Larry Nance Jr. clearly is getting back into shape and trying to get back into his comfort again. Dean Wade wasn't as great. Dellavedova was non-existent. I mean, Hartenstein, Kakembele, Stevens, and Thomas hardly played as well. Like, if you didn't have Sexton, the Cavs wouldn't be in this one, and that's why he's my MVP pick.
I'm really glad I let you go first, because I was going to rip on you if Sexton didn't get any love there, and I would have been one of the first to say something positive about Colin Sexton on Locked On Cavs. How about that?
Hey, now.
Couldn't resist it, buddy. Could not resist it.
It's okay.
So I'm not actually going to go with Okoro either. I'm going to go with Jared Allen, because when you really watch that game, yes, the Warriors hit some shots from the outside and whatnot. They are prone to do that. But he really had an impact on this game on the interior, playing 35 minutes, just active hands, getting steals, really, really making a difference and being that safety blanket. You mentioned how having him for the two guards is just such an asset, because when they do need that bailout, he's just got such a crazy catch radius. You know that he's able to find those passing lanes, those gaps moving without the ball. It's just such a thrill to see him back with the team, playing well, healthy, because he takes this team to another level, and it's another example. I mean, you look at Allen, Sexton, and Garland and the production they had on the night, and it wasn't even one of their better nights. Like, I feel like if Larry and Dele were healthy, those second unit minutes with Sexton would have been more productive for him. If Garland shot a little bit better, and maybe this wasn't the second night of a back-to-back, it would have been a much better night for him. So the fact that they're putting up these gaudy stats and you feel like there's still more room to grow, that's one of those reasons why you just get excited about this young core.
No, yeah, there's plenty to be excited with this team, and especially the younger players. And I don't know. That's what I try. When I try to market people on this team, they said, like, okay, well, what's the appeal of the Cavs without LeBron James here? I'm like, well, they have a pretty fun young core. You just got to give them time, and maybe they just need a draft pick to kind of put it all together. And this is my segue into the next segment here. But the Cavs, with this loss and the Bulls being inactive, are now 2.5 games back of the play-in tournament for that 10th seed. Justin, you and I kind of were sipping the Kool-Aid. Chris is the most hesitant one of the three of us. How are you feeling about their chances right now?
I don't love their chances, but I don't think that should discourage them for going for it. Obviously, with Zach LaVine being out, that's going to make things a little bit easier. But one of the things that I really like about this kind of closing stretch for the Cavs, yes, you have a game against Detroit. Yes, you have a game against Orlando. But other than that, it is all teams that are in the playoff and play-in mix. And I just think that that's such a great opportunity, because you talk about the stretch of games the Cavs lost last season, all those developmental opportunities that kind of got thrown out. This is better than any regular season games that they would play, where it's just middle of the year. You might be able to steal a team, game against a team having an off night or whatever. Even with LaVine out, Chicago needs these games desperately. And for the Cavs, who next season, assuming the play-in's still here, because I don't think it's going to go anywhere, they're going to be in this hunt again next year. Now, you might hope that maybe they're a 7 seed or an 8 seed or in a more comfortable position this time next year, but you're going to be facing teams this desperate to get in that are going to be testing you, and you're going to have to figure out, okay, my shot's not falling. How can I make an impact, similar to what Garland did tonight? You're going to have to work through a lot of stuff, and you can only do that in-game experience. There's nothing you can do in practice or in the offseason that can replicate these situations. So while I don't love their chances, and you look at this May schedule, it gets really difficult. Mm-hmm. I I just want them to stay in the hunt for as long as possible, because it's all bunched up together. It's not really going to move the lottery odds one way or another. And because you have no control over the lottery, have some control over the player development and prioritize that. That's my biggest thing. And if you get in because your young guys are taking the leap and they rise to the occasion, that's an exciting thing for me. I'm not going to root for losses, man. I life is too short to root for losses.
Hey everyone, do you want to know how Chris Manning stacks paper to the ceiling and rides on 22-inch chromes? Well, it's because of our friends who sponsored the show, including BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine, and they have you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It is quite literally the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So if you're interested, head over to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit only if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts and the exclusive betting partner of the Locked On Podcast Network. Get more analysis on the top prospects available in this year's NBA Draft with the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast. Scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and so much more 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Follow the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts, probably the same place you find Locked On Cavs. No, I absolutely agree, and you bring up a really good point here, because I don't think they're going to catch Minnesota. They're not going to catch Houston. I think Detroit's out of reach at this point. I know, like you said, they do play them, and maybe the Pistons pull off a shocker. Orlando, possibly, if they kind of, I don't know. Wendell Carter Jr. looked pretty good, and as a WCJ guy, that was validating for me, but I think they're going to really stay. I agree with you. I think they're going to stay in that 5-8 range for the overall seeding, just for draft lottery purposes, but like they're going to be towards the, they're not going to be the worst team in the East. Detroit's going to have that honor, and then, but I think they're going to be jockeying a little bit with Washington and Toronto for just who is the top four, or who's the top team out of the four or five bottom feeders in the Eastern Conference. Yeah. And I don't think that's a bad place to be, like you said. And like you said,
those teams have really a lot of money invested in veterans like that. Yeah. Like that, you got Westbrook and Beal, and they basically have the same record as the Cavs. And yes, there's a million qualifiers for Toronto. There's a million qualifiers for Washington. There's also a million qualifiers for the Cavs. Like,
yeah,
I think that needs to be mentioned. That at least there seems to be a little bit more upward trajectory when it comes to the Cavs here.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. And like, I don't know. I just think it's silly. Like, I love the Locked On Cavs Discord with every fiber of my being. We have some of the best listeners, and I appreciate them being so engaged and a part of our little community that we're growing. But the hand-wringing that I just see about the Cavs possibly winning a game, or like this April stretch being too easy, and I pointed out to a few of the guys or gals, I'm not going to misgender anyone here or anything else, but in our Discord, I'm like, listen, like, yes, the schedule on paper seems easy, and they play Detroit and they play Washington and everything else, but they also could have a few games where it's like they go against Toronto and you're like, okay, the Cavs are riding a hot streak. They just beat San Antonio and Oklahoma City and they lay an absolute egg. Well, granted, Gary Trent Jr. just kind of made that a thing too, but like, I don't know. I'm just not too worried about it. Like I, like you said, I'd rather them go out and be competitive every single night with the mentality that, hey, we're going to try and try our hardest to get into this play-in scenario. We're going to try our hardest to maybe be a playoff threat. Like, that has been a consistent theme of this Cavs team. Like, win, lose, or there's no ties in basketball, but either way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, their mentality is just to be competitive, and that's what you want, because, like, Colin Sexton told me, he's like, I'm sick and tired of losing, and I think it's easier to swallow the losses as long as you know you're not getting absolutely slaughtered or this team is quitting on itself midway into the, like, tail end of the season.
Right, and if you are invested in the guys they currently have, like, a big part of the decision-making process for Sexton, Garland, and Okoro is these are guys that have a reputation of being really hard workers. How are they going to react to being benched for a 1% increase in your odds? Like, you can't imagine that that's going to be a positive
probably
thing.
Probably lose them over that.
What's that?
You probably lose them over that.
Right. And if you're of the opinion that none of these guys matter, maybe you're a little more okay with that. But at the end of the day, like, look how good Sexton is now and how valuable a piece a lot of people would consider him to be. When coming into that draft process, it was a seven-player draft, quote-unquote, and Sexton wasn't part of that seven-player draft. And if you did a redraft now, he might still go eight, but it's going to be a very different seven ahead of them. Like, the fact that we talk in such absolutes when it comes to the draft can be a little frustrating for me. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, I understand where people are coming from, where they do want to get up in the lottery. I mean, I'm not a crazy person. I am a crazy person, but I want the odds to be as high as possible. I want to get Kate. I think some of that excitement and some of that desire to get that high pick is people feel we're close. Like, they feel like there's reason to believe if you're invested in kind of the four young guys and Larry as who you're moving forward with, and I guess Hartenstein now, adding Cade to that mix is a perfect fit on paper. So yeah. I don't judge anyone for kind of prioritizing things differently. Like, there's no right or wrong way to fan. But what I do like is at least explaining my thought process, explaining my perspective, because maybe it feels like, okay, we don't have to deal in absolutes. Maybe even if you do fall, you can add someone that's in that section or a core tier of prospect that can make a difference. And you'd have to imagine if you're the Cavs and you're trying to go for the play-in right now, you have your plan if you jump up in the lottery and you land one of these big prospects, and you have a plan in place for how to improve the team if you don't get lottery luck. Like, that has to be in place. You can't bank on one way or another. It's just going to be a little more difficult to do it without a higher pick, because that's the nature of the NBA. But it's far from impossible, and you look at a lot of the best teams right now, and they did it without those high picks. So maybe if you don't have confidence in the organization and the front office yet, if they haven't earned a benefit of doubt from you, I understand why that can be nerve-wracking. But at the end of the day, like, you just kind of have to deal with the players that you have, focus on developing them, and I think that is trending in the right direction. These players do seem to be getting better by the game, and I think that's noteworthy.
No, I think you and I are on the same page, and you really said it best. There is no wrong way to fan when it comes to a team, and I think, you and I both are telling people, like, it's okay to, like, kind of be upset or frustrated. Like, that's fine. Like, you're allowed to be. I just, you and I, like you said, we're sharing our perspective on just, like, at least for me, like, why I think it's just a little silly to kind of worry about it. But I'm also not going to tell people how to do things. But also, for those who want to see the Cavs maybe make the play, and Justin, the Cavs play the Bulls twice over the next week, and I kind of said that this could be a make or break scenario for either of these team seasons. Like, let's say Cleveland wins both, they're in Chicago, drops their game tomorrow night. I think they play Memphis on Friday. Cleveland could realistically be a half game back of that 10th seed. Do you agree with that statement that, like, this could either break or make either season? Like, the Cavs are going to be trying to gun for this play-in spot. I'm sure they're trying to go into Chicago Saturday and beat the Bulls. And with Zach LaVine out, it maybe is a little bit more probable. But I don't know. It's just, it's an interesting situation, don't you think?
This is probably the most important games the Cavs have played in a few years. And, like, that's exciting to me. And I think, looking at the schedule right now, assuming, let's say the Cavs win both of those games, they're going to be a lot closer to that play-in, obviously. I think Toronto will probably overtake Chicago at that point, because they do play OKC and Orlando. And they are starting to get a little healthier. Fred VanVleet will be back for them, so I think that might end up becoming the team that they chase. It wouldn't shock me to see the Cavs either in play-in position or very close to it by the end of April, and then just kind of fall out of it the 2 weeks in May. But, like, this is the closest thing, assuming that is the way it's going to play out, this is the closest thing they're going to have to playoff games. Like, they play Chicago twice, and then they play Washington twice before the month is over. Those are going to be incredibly high-intensity games that those teams really want to win. Same goes for that game against Toronto. Like, to me, it's an incredibly exciting thing because this is the most meaningful games that the Cavs have played in a long time, and I want to see how the guys react to that situation. Mm-hmm. They might fail in it. Like, yeah. they might not rise to the occasion. They might see, hey, Levine's out. This is going to be an easier game, even though they have Vucevic, and come out flat. But that's a learning experience. That's something they can grow from, and it's going to be something that they can draw upon next season when they are trying to make the playoffs and learn from that mistake and go through fewer growing pains. I think it's you can't flip a switch when it comes to learning how to win in the NBA. It's a process. It's not linear, and I really think that these are valuable opportunities. So I'm, regardless of the result, I'm really excited for these games.
No, I am too, and I think you really do make a good point where these two games, and in between that, they play Detroit on Monday, so that's where I'm saying, like, they could really be breathing down the bull's neck if the Cleveland is able to pull off these two wins. I should have clarified when I said that, but, like, mm-hmm. yeah, this is... These are
and both. It's all on the road. Like, yeah. All these games, pretty much, except for the one against Chicago, are on the road. Like, and that's where they've struggled. That's where young players struggle. So this... Even though the schedule is lighter right now, that is not an easy stretch by any stretch of the imagination.
No,
a lot of use of the word stretch there.
Yeah, but your point is made, and don't worry, my man. But yeah, like, so they're in Chicago, then they're in Detroit, then they're home, then they're in Charlotte, then they're where they just won, mind you. But either way, then in Washington, in Tampa to play Toronto, then they're home against Orlando, then Washington to wrap up the month of April, and then they're home against Miami, Phoenix, Portland, do a home and home with Dallas, and then they're with Indiana, Boston, Washington, Brooklyn. Like you said, May probably will balance things back out for the Cavs. That stretch of Miami, Phoenix, Portland, Dallas twice, and then even Indiana, who is a tough out, I guess, for any team, even if they aren't the greatest. And then Boston to kind of wrap things up. Like, Brooklyn could rest all their players too towards the end of the year. But either way, I think May's going to normalize things out, and just kind of we'll see where it goes from here. But, well, I'm a little disappointed because, Justin, we're going to start wrapping things up here, and Chris Manning demanded that I include him on our chat, but his loss. But why don't you let everyone know where they can find you if they aren't following you yet? What have you been up to? And maybe if you want to tease what we have cooking up, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. If you aren't following me on Twitter already, you should at Kaz Canada. Just slap the Kaz in the Canada. You can find the Chase Down podcast wherever you got this podcast. Rate, review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, help cook those books, just like you should be doing for Locked On Kaz. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow, we will be doing a little crossover pod with the Locked On boys. I'm really excited for that, talking about this closing stretch for the season. We will be, I assume we're going live. Carter handles all of that stuff. I'm the beauty, I'm the face behind the operation, and he's the brain, so I think he'll get that going for us. I'm excited for that and looking forward to talk to you and Chris, who's ducking us today.
Chris is really ducking us, all to go watch a soccer game, but...
Coward.
Yeah, that's what you get when you can get both your vaccines. He's finally doing something for himself, so I'm a little happy for Chris. He's been sitting at home reading comics and drinking tea, so he's out doing normal adult things. So just a round of applause.
Living his best life.
There we go.
Good for him, man.
Yeah, absolutely. But if you guys, like Justin said, if you aren't following him, please do cook those books for the Chase Down and come check us out when we're on there tomorrow. We will be there live, hopefully. We haven't really ironed out the nitty-gritty of it, but either way, you can also find them wherever you find us, wherever you find your podcast. Leave us a 5-star review. I'm doing a better job of reading those at the end of each show. And until next time, go Cavs.
Locked On Cavs is your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast covering the latest news, rumors, and game action from the Wine and Gold.
You can follow us on social at Locked On Cavs or give us a call and leave a voicemail, and we'll answer your questions live at 440-673-3605.
If you want to contact the show, email us at lockedoncavs@gmail.com. And if you want to support the show, the best way to do that is by going to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. It's produced and hosted by Chris Manning and Evan Damrell.